I don't know. I don't have any introductory music queued up yet. Maybe we'll have some, maybe we won't. This is our OER 20 session, being pulled together under rather odd circumstances. What have you been up to lately, Anne-Marie?
Well, I've been trying to turn an entire university's administration into a virtual distributed workforce. Brian, what have you been up to recently?
Well, I've mostly been focused on taking a campus face-to-face university and putting it online overnight. So, kind of similar.
So that's, yeah, I mean, there can't be many other people in the world doing this at the moment.
No. And if only there was some sort of conference gathering people that are all dealing with this stuff together, it would be very handy at the time like this, but just doesn't exist.
That's pie in the sky thinking.
Yeah. So obviously we've been talking before, and I feel like, I mean, we're going to try to cover some of the things we put in our abstract, but I think it's also fair to say that the way things have gone and stuff, we're going a little bit rogue here, I think. We're going to talk a bit about what open ed tech and our group, the Open ETC, are kind of where maybe we see ourselves going. Would that be a fair way to say it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we anticipated this presentation talking about how the Open ETC kind of fills a gap for a number of institutions, that it's about trying out a new model, and that it's some kind of response to the idea that the sector can't do for itself and needs disruption. But it does feel a bit weird to, you know, kind of go through a series of really nice case studies of using our collective, collaboratively supported tools in this kind of weird pivot to a really conservative set of educational technology that we've all just made. So it feels like maybe thinking about how the Open ETC reframes its offering to be relevant to the world that we now live in might be a better approach. Which probably take us to the same places, but frame them differently, right?
And I think we were already a little worried about, where are we going to find the time to keep doing this awesome thing? We all knew we loved it, and we all knew it was very important to us. But I mean, that's always been a conversation when our group, and I guess we should give a shout out to our colleagues in the founding group. There's so many people that are part of the group, but the people that, you know, we wish had a little more time and headspace to join us, Tanis Morgan, who's doing other sessions here, Clint Lalonde, and Grant Potter, of course. We always, when we get together, as you know, we always say, we got to carve time out. How are we going to do this? I think that's going to be even more of a challenge in the coming year, although it's never felt more important to me.
Absolutely. And I think hopefully we've got some good news on that front in terms of a little bit of funding for how we proceed. But, you know, again, the world has changed on us, so we're going to have to look carefully at that.
Yeah. So just a little kind of note about what this session is going to be. The core formal presentation is going to be essentially a 20-minute audio document. But we're going to also point people to opened.ca/OER20. And we're going to have some additional audio. We recorded about a half hour of conversation yesterday, and we're only going to use about 5 to 10 minutes of it in this file. And we'll also try to have some resources and links and things like that. So this is kind of like a podcast. Well, it is essentially. But also, yeah, if people want to go a little deeper, please go to opened.ca/OER20. Cover.
So when I was thinking about how that bit about how do we reframe the Open ETC. So listening back to the previous conversation gave me a lot of fodder for this. Mm-hmm. But how do we reframe the Open ETC, and why is it relevant, given that we've just made this kind of pivot to expediency and gone for this really conservative set of ed tech? And I think there were a few things, and they're kind of bulleted on the end of that picture I sent you. But the first was, we have seen the Open ETC provide examples of what people need right now that they can't do by any other means. Mm-hmm. And that was your law example.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bit about turnkey solutions, that's the clone zone.
Yeah.
And then shared risk in economic times, which we possibly have in some of the other bits that we've already got, but it's whether we want to state it more concretely. And then there was a final bit that kind of just crystallized for me as I was listening to the other thing that this, it's explicitly designed around sharing. And actually, when you think about what we've just done over the last 2 weeks and how we've managed to do it, yes, we may have retreated into fairly established conservative technologies, but look at the sharing we've done as a community of practice. Mm-hmm. There's no way we could have achieved what we've each individually achieved in our institutions without leveraging the support of that community of practice. How many people have curated lists of resources and shared out lists of resources online? How many back channels are there where we're sharing some of the problems that we've got, you know, how to deal with particularly difficult faculty or, you know, some of the concerns we've got around technology? So this culture of sharing and sharing as being a way of sustaining ourselves is never more important than in a crisis. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how it fares over time. But to this point, because I think the future is just so unknown and things are going to hit us a lot harder soon, I think. But at this point, I have been really, just really pleasantly surprised how resilient and dynamic our networks are. And our culture to this point, as we record this, it's the end of March 2020, I should say out loud.
So when we're gathered around that flaming barrel by the side of the canal, we can...
Exactly.
I don't know quite how we're going to listen back to it without electricity anymore.
That's true. You know. Why am I even worried?
But maybe we can get...
No one's going to be able to throw this in my face.
We need to get this put on a wax cylinder before the world.
There you go. Implodes. There you go. Exactly. So yeah.
So tell us about cloning.
Go on. Okay. Sorry. So thank you. And if I do get my head together on the Open Ed site /OER20, I'm hoping to do just a little 5-minute demo showing some of this. And one thing I do want to show, for example, is occasionally, back in the old days, I would occasionally get the opportunity to do a special project. So there was one special project, for example, where we created a web resource that was kind of like a deluxe splot where students could submit case studies of essentially related to local food production and food security. And we used the Google API so that this stuff would get represented on a Google map that we can embed inside the WordPress site. It was a really nice piece of work by Thomas Sandoff to build it. And the professor's name was Kathleen Scherf. And it was a nice project, you know, it was something we were very proud of. But one thing what I asked Thomas to do, and thankfully he had the time to do it, was he also created a generic version of the site where it could be not just food security, it could be about any set of topics. But the plugins were all there, the configurations were all done, the connections were all there, the theming was done. And so what we've been able to do, and that thing is in the Open Ed site, is we have, for example, allowed a geography professor to go into that framework, and she created virtual field trips with her students using it. And I guess I think cloning is one of those things I always want to talk about. I always get the feeling people don't quite see how powerful it is because I think they think it's just like having a SCORM package, you know, this piece of content or this thing that you can just kind of move from one place to another. But I think what's powerful about it, at least when you're inside a frame like Word, like WordPress, is it allows, I mean, it just, it's more, so much more dynamic than that. And that we can think of the way we think of sharing content, we could actually share functionality and interaction patterns and also to just be able to build on each other's work so powerfully. And I have to say, one of my initial motivations for wanting to work with the earliest people in the OpenETC was just I wanted to share a server with them so I could go copy their stuff. And so we've worked really hard on this notion of cloning, and it's the idea too. And I think the way it works for most of our users is instead of them getting a Hello World website with a generic template and then having to figure out what theme they want and figure out which plugins to turn on and to make the settings work, we're able to give them a running start and get them 90% of the way to where they want that website to be, because about 90% of our websites are about the same 10 use cases. So I just think it's a very powerful idea. And I think it's one of those things. I think it's not until you actually do it and benefit from it and you realize, oh my gosh, I just launched a site that would have taken weeks of development and I just put it together in 2 hours and it's running really well. I think that's the power of it, and you have to experience it.
And I think it's something, when we think about the kinds of technologies that we've fallen back on, LMSs and video conferencing and remote proctoring and so on, when you think about LMSs, how many institutions have done LMS template projects to try and get some kind of running start with some kind of quality assurance baked in? But actually, LMSs are pretty bad at this. Yes, you can probably get a template. Can you get a series of templates? Can you get a series of templates that have rich pre-configured functionality? And can you give those to end users to choose which ones they want? I mean, I don't really know of any. You could kind of get close to that, but I don't know of any LMS that gets as close to what we've built with the Open Ed Tech Co-op on that space.
I think you make a really interesting comparison too, because I think that maybe is another reason why people don't quite get what's so cool about cloning. You were mentioning, you know, the templated LMS frameworks. That's an attempt to standardize and lock people into certain patterns to kind of protect them from themselves. And, you know, sometimes that's not a terrible idea because it does simplify the process for people, because they know it's like, you know, paint by numbers now, and they can just fill in what they need. The thing that's powerful about our cloning is, like, when we start, and I'll try to put a couple links that show this, when, say, we give a set of students a brand new e-portfolio template, I always tell them, I say, you know, you've now got the minimum requirements to complete the technical part of this e-portfolio. All you have to do is put your materials in the places where it says. But, and about half the students, that's all they do. They don't change the theme. They might change the header image or something, but that's it. But then about half of them do something really different. They change the theme. They completely rework it. They restructure it. They rebuild it. So this running start, because of it's an open framework that's so flexible, the students get comfortable and they don't stay within that template for very long necessarily, at least half of them, which to me is a really significant proportion of them, given that they, most of them have never built a website before.
And so that's maybe more important because, you know, we've got to the point of the Open ATC because some of these systems on campuses weren't doing what people needed. They didn't give enough power to students to put their own identity or their own frame around their own work. They weren't, you know, you couldn't do stuff necessarily in the open for other people to observe and participate in. We've taken a whole bunch of new people into the kind of starting space that started this journey towards the Open ETC. And you explained earlier that, you know, you're already starting to see enthusiasm and excitement about the use of learning technology to teach in a campus-based context, because people are seeing the ways in which it changes their relationship with their students, the kinds of interactions they have with students. So, yeah, there are going to be a number of people for whom they're wildly out of their comfort zone, and something like the Open ETC will just melt their brains right now, and it wouldn't be appropriate. But there are a number of people whose appetites have been whetted, and they're going to want to proceed down this path and explore that new relationship they have with students, that greater level of engagement. Where do you go? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the Open ETC has to reframe itself to sit in that space and on that kind of spectrum.
For sure. I think we all know we've always talked about this being a challenge, but I think it's even more important now is how we make what that potential is visible to people who maybe aren't, you know, intuitively comfortable with how online technology works, or, you know, they don't have a natural sense of how things develop and how to grow something. So how do we get them in there? But I think that's one thing that's powerful about these clonable sites too, because it means the first thing that someone is doing with their website, they're usually writing right away, as opposed to spending the first 5 hours just trying to make the site not look terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think that just changes that first impression that people get.
I think it does. And I think it also speaks really strongly to this kind of underlying need for turnkey solutions. That's why we've gone for the things that, you know, we already have on our campus and that we know how to operate really easily, because they are turnkey solutions. You talked about, you know, the ability to flip out a Moodle shell within minutes, no problem. You want an integration with whatever web conferencing tool we're using, no problem. And we need to reframe, or need to more strongly frame some of what we have in the OpenATC or in these clonable sites as that as well. But there are, I think, examples of the OpenATC infrastructure being used right now to do things that are relevant to right now, highly relevant to right now, for which these kind of, you know, more conservative infrastructures just don't work. Yeah. And you talked about a really great example from a law professor in your institution. Can you say more about that one?
Yeah. Well, this is very early because it's literally just started in the last few days. But we have a very inventive law professor named Katie Sykes at TRU. And she, in the past, has taught a course called Apps for Access to Justice. So it's essentially teaching students to build apps to provide, you know, kind of simple legal guidance on common questions. And it works kind of the same principle like a lot of like online tax software. It asks you questions and then it kind of guides you through scenarios. And then it takes you to a place with some provisional resources or advice. So it's not meant to replace a lawyer, but it's just meant to kind of say, okay, this is the information you need. This is the kind of stuff that's out there. And it kind of just guides you through that and makes sure you can find what you need at least, or, you know if you need to talk to a lawyer or not is often where it ends up getting to. So they've done this in the past and she's taught this course two or three times. And some of them have actually gone on at, this is what they do for a living now. They build legal apps. So she's kind of got the band back together with some of her best students from the past, or at least her keenest. And they started up a Mattermost space, and I'm privileged to be allowed to lurk in it. And I've been watching them. They're building apps on COVID resources. So things like guides for renters and guides for homeowners, for example, and various processes, related to healthcare access and also and insurance and resources for business owners. And I think when, you know, some of the aid packages start to come out, there'll be guides there too to help identify need and to help people find what they might be eligible for. So it's been kind of, I don't know how far it'll go, but it's inspiring to watch. And to me, that is open pedagogy at its essence. Like that, it's the opposite of a disposable assignment. It's people saying, we are going to gather together and in a way that used to be thought of as an educational simulation of some kind, and we're going to build something because there's a need.
And so using Mattermost for that is really interesting because you think about the number of software teams that, you know, operate remotely, which is how everybody is operating right now. And, you know, to have that kind of rapid chat-based kind of collaborative environment, I think we all recognize that as being, you know, kind of fundamental to underpinning some of this activity now. And again, you ain't going to find that in an LMS.
Yeah. And yeah, you can just see the speed with which they pull things together too, because, you know, Mattermost, because it's kind of related to, you know, these tools like Slack, it's kind of configured for rapid development and iteration of getting work done. And it's working that way for my team, by the way. It's really a trip to watch my team inside Mattermost pull things together rapidly, where the process of identifying the problem and starting to get to work on it and then getting to a conclusion is so powerful. And people can see it happening out of their corner of their eyes, so they know this activity is happening.
So one of the things the OpenATC has provided BC with then is a platform for, in Mattermost particularly, is a platform for supporting that pivot to remote distributed working that nobody expected they would ever have to make. I mean, you know, I just talked at the start of this about needing to try and convert the whole of an institution's admin to a remote distributed workforce, you know, just turn the office of the registrar into a distributed team. We all talk about the pivot we've made to online learning, but actually we've all, on top of supporting everybody else to make that pivot, also had to turn ourselves into distributed remote teams. So we're doing that work for other people at the same time as every way in which we operate has been disrupted. And I've seen in the chats around, you know, on the OpenETC Mattermost, on our admin Mattermost, various people getting in touch to say, can we have a channel? Because suddenly they find themselves distributed and they need a comms infrastructure for that.
Keep on blogging till the power goes out. Your battery's dead. Twist and shout.
And then we basically have almost got 20. So all we got to do is say goodbye. And I have a surprise for you, though, as we're going to say goodbye.
Okay.
I came across the coolest thing on the internet earlier today, and I've been really wanting to tell you about it. So you know that Neil Young has his own website, right? It's called the Neil Young, I think it's called the Archives.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a premium subscriber, which I am, you get access to all sorts of, like, you know, member-only recordings. And Neil has just dropped a brand new kind of, like, it's like an instant LP. It's one of those ones where he just cranks it out. You know, it's all improv, probably. He probably just did it off the top of his head. And it's about EdTech. He's done an album called EdTech. It's about open EdTech. And it's pretty amazing. Like, I'll show you. It's like, it goes, da-da-da-da-da-da, I am an open EdTech, da-da-da-da-da-da, I'm on the web, da-da-da-da-da-da. Gonna do that pivot, da 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 da. Gonna care for the students, da 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 da. Your LMS sucks, da 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 da. And it goes like that for a while, and then later on he goes, da 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 da. You're in your Zoom conference, da 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 da. You better put your password on, da 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 da. Someone gonna Zoom bomb you, da 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 da. You got dick pics in your class, da 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 da. Got your attention tracking on, da 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 da. Attention tracking with the dick pic, da da da. It's really good.
I cannot wait to hear this.
Yeah.
Do I have to become a premium subscriber too?
I'll see if I can figure out a way to extract it. The DRM's pretty slick in there though, so we'll see what we can do.